The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Glenn Beck.
I remember the first time I took my daughter on a father-daughter date. She was probably six. And I took her to Broadway because she used to watch The King and I. And I would watch it with her, and I would spend more time watching her. And we went to Broadway, and I'll never forget, she wanted to wear her pretty shoes. And so she got all dressed up, and I got all dressed up, and we went to Broadway. And we saw The King and I. I spent the whole night, and she remembers this. She remembers every time she would look at me, I was looking at her. I didn't watch the show at all. I watched my little girl sitting on the edge of the seat in wonder. We still go on father-daughter dates. And anytime we can see The King and I, we do. And it's still just as magical. I just saw the tour of King and I. And I found myself doing the same thing. Now watching my 30-year-old daughter sit on the edge of her seat. Those are magical moments. I want to tell you a story about Victoria. She had her dress and her shoes all picked out. She was so excited. There was a father-daughter dance. It was at PS 65, Staten Island. It was supposed to happen this Friday. Yesterday, Victoria came home with some disappointing news. Her school's parent-teacher association was forced to reschedule the dance because of the Department of Education's gender-neutral policy, which requires school events to include all types of students and families. The father-daughter dance was canceled because it only included fathers and daughters. You want to know why Donald Trump won? Because of this. I mean, is there anybody within the sound of my voice, if a daughter goes with a grandfather or an uncle or a friend or their mom because they don't have a dad in their life, do you think anyone at the school is going to say anything? Do you think anyone is that callous? And if they are that callous, do you think that the rest of the people around wouldn't say, hey, dude, what's wrong? What's your problem? This political correctness is taking over our lives. You want to know why Donald Trump won? It's because people don't feel they are being heard. You want to know why there's real danger headed our way? It's because when people don't feel heard and they feel that the things and the traditions that they grew up with, when they feel those are being destroyed, people tend to get a little testy. This is not a daddy, mommy, son, daughter, cousin, godfather, sister-in-law dance. Because when everyone is invited, then it's just called a dance. For many fathers, daddy-daughter dances are really one of the only times, the much-needed chance to bond with their girls. Why is it people want to destroy a relationship that is hard to build in the first place between their daughter and their father? Relationships with your dad can be easy for some. It can be extraordinarily difficult for others. The madness of this political correctness has destroyed this special occasion for them, and that is tragic. PS65 has rescheduled the event to take place in March, but now it's open to everyone. Other schools have followed suit. PS30 is having a fudge dance that stands for fun with uncles, dads, grandpa, etc. Again, bring your uncle, bring your grandfather, bring your mother. Nobody's going to say anything if that is the only person in your life. We will look at you and we will look at the grandfather with pride and joy that he's in her life. This is shameful. You You need to organize your own daddy-daughter dance. And and only the dad can be there. Just invite normal people. Just normal Americans, because we all get it. The public school system has gone crazy. But that doesn't mean that you can't show your daughters that it's important to spend time with dad.
It's Wednesday, February 7th. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Let me give you this one. You want to know why Donald Trump won? While the less witted of NFL players were significantly pissing people off by kneeling during the national anthem at their games, one linebacker has succumbed to the dangers of having a large population of illegal aliens in our midst. His name is Edwin Jackson. The suspected drunk driver who killed Indianapolis Colts linebacker Edwin Jackson in a crash on the morning of the Super Bowl is a Guatemalan citizen who is in the U.S. illegally and has been deported twice. They identified the driver of the F-150 truck in the incident as Manuel Orego Salva, 37. He was deported in 2007 and deported again in 2009. Jackson, 26, Jeffrey Monroe, 54, also in the vehicle, were hit and killed around 4 a.m. Sunday on Interstate 70. Investigators believe Monroe was Jackson's Uber driver and Jackson was the passenger. Fox 59 reported that at some point during the ride, Jackson became sick and the pair were hit on the emergency shoulder of the highway after Monroe pulled over. Didn't have to happen. Didn't have to happen. Try this. German politicians are expressing shock over a new report from the German federal police that show there were almost 100 anti-Christian hate crimes in Germany last year. Almost 100. The German website says one quarter of the 97 cases were attacks on churches and Christian symbols, and there were 14 cases of violent anti-Christian crimes among asylum seekers or refugees. But an outside group, Open Doors, suggests there's far more than this report suggests. Open Doors, which tracks the persecution of Christians worldwide, recorded 743 cases of anti-Christian attacks in German refugee homes over 8 months. Open Doors Germany told newspapers over in Germany, the victims told us the attackers would say things like, "I will cut off your head because you're a non-believer, you're contaminating the kitchen, or you're defiling the fridge." There was also a Muslim apostate murdered by a fellow Afghan asylum seeker after she converted to Christianity. He staked her out at the supermarket that she frequents, and then when she arrived, he stabbed her repeatedly in front of her two children. He claims her Christianity had nothing to do with it. Prosecution says that's exactly why he did it. So what happens? I brought you those two stories because they are similar. They're not the same, but they're similar. Here's what the similarity is. Dangerous people are in our country and our government is ignoring it. Whether that is a Muslim extremist, and not all Muslims are extremists, but whether that's a Muslim extremist that nobody wants to even admit even exist, or a violent offender who should not be here because they were violent in their own country and they came here, or they had been deported time and time again and they should not be here. And because our governments are not listening to us, that is going to boil over. But they're not listening to us on something else either. And it goes to the father-daughter dance. This is a tradition. And yes, we all know that families are not the same. And we all know that all kids don't have dads. We know that. But some do. And this is an important tradition. And why is it that our traditions have to be destroyed for other people? Why can't we also do our tradition? This is important. Why can't we do that? Well, they're going to feel bad. I got news for you, man. I'm 53 years old. I feel bad a lot of the time. You're going to feel bad. People are going to hurt your feelings. People are going to say things that really make you angry. People are going to say things that are stupid, that are racist, that are xenophobic, that are sexist. It's going to happen. It's called life. And so when you start to destroy people's culture, they start to push back. And they can only take so much. What is the real root of Brexit? The real root of Brexit is, you know, we're English. We're English. And we're proud to be English. And there's nothing wrong with it. We have a rich, long history. We're Italians. And we have a history that is important. We're Swedish. And our culture is important. They're being taught now in Sweden that their culture is not important. If you've ever been to Sweden, just look at the architecture. I was talking to a Swede when I was there, and they said, yeah, well, you know, we're not really that special. I said, I've never seen architecture like this before. This is Swedish architecture. This is yours. It belongs to you. And you should be proud of it. Now, not to the exclusion of everything else. That's not what anybody is saying. But why is it we can't have our traditions? Why is it we can't be proud of things that we should be proud? We should be proud of things, yet still humble. But we're being forced into a corner. And that is going to be colossally dangerous. Last night, I did a story about England. I'm sorry, about Europe. And something that is called the 120 decibel movement. 120 dB, hashtag 120 dB. And if you start to look at it, you'll go, look at, I even retweeted and said, we have to support the women who are being raped and abused in Europe. But 120 dB, I didn't know who they were. And soon as I posted it, I thought, boy, I wonder if I should probably look in a little more. So I just started reading tweets, and then I started following links. And that's what we did. And last night, I showed you the connections. This is a pop-up movement. This is the Tides Foundation of Europe, except it's on the uber right. And in England, or I mean, sorry, in Europe, the right is spooky. It's not a constitutional right. It's a national socialist right. And this is starting to take Europe by storm. I've told you before, you will see the hatreds of the 1930s repeat itself in Europe, and it is beginning. So we did our homework last night, and I showed you the really intoxicating messages, the things that you might listen to and go, yeah, damn right, that's right. That just happened to one of our football players because of an immigrant who was here. Yeah, this happened to Kate Steinle. And you will feel the same intoxicating emotion. But what is behind it? Tonight, I'm going to expose something that is happening over in Europe, but also happening here with the names and the quotes and the places. If you remember when we exposed the Tides Foundation and I warned you, This is a bogus. They serve bogus movements. The same thing is now happening here, but it's happening now to our side. And it is critical that you understand the faces behind it. Tonight, I will show you the Puppet Master. Remember, I showed you the Puppet Master on Fox. Puppet Master exposed tonight at 5 o'clock. And you'll see that only on theblaze.com/TV. Please subscribe and join me tonight. Our futures are connected to this.
Glenn Beck.
Welcome back to the program. Glad you're here.
Now, I don't know if you know this, but women have the right to be believed and must be believed at all times.
No, we all have a right to be heard and taken seriously. Then we have to be judged on the merits of whatever it is we're saying.
Hashtag me too after you said that, because I feel assaulted. Okay. A federal judge, however, is in this one case, and it's just one case, and this is a total exception, and probably the judge is a man or something, and that's why this has happened. Federal judges recommended that James Madison University pay nearly $850,000 in damages to an anonymous student who says the school punished him for a rape he didn't commit, using a secretive process that didn't allow him to confront witnesses or present evidence.
Oh, my gosh.
John Doe. It's not his real name, guys.
Oh, really?
Just so you know. Okay. Won his lawsuit.
I was so busy eating a Tide Pod that I didn't think that John Doe, I didn't think that through.
John Doe won his lawsuit against James Madison, who was a real person. But that university, just before Christmas, according to the College Fix, when another federal court judge found that the school had violated his constitutional right to due process when they gave him a 5.5-year suspension based on a bizarre double jeopardy clause contained in a 2011 Obama administration directive to institutions of higher education. The letter instructed schools to suspend the guarantee against double jeopardy if further evidence presented itself after a student had been cleared of sexual assault. In this case, he was accused of a rape by a female classmate and exonerated by a faculty panel, which, of course, is a faculty panel is the place where you want to adjudicate a rape case. That's when you want to find out.
Yeah. You don't want a real judge or jury or defendant.
You shouldn't
public
go to the legal
defender.
System. No.
No.
No, no. no. no, 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 no. In fact, my only problem with this is why is there any trial at all? Because she deserves to be believed.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. The fact that he still lives today and can collect this money is an affront to my sensibilities.
It is. Now, Jane Roe, which also not her real name, complained that she was not given a fair hearing, and James Madison gave a second try here at the case. The appeal board effectively reversed the decision of the hearing board without any explanation whatsoever and without ever expressing a finding that Doe was responsible for the sexual misconduct. Well, that's a good reason to suspend him anyway and throw him out of school. That's not a big shock to
destroy
your life.
Destroy him and ban him for 5.5 years?
No big deal. This, the judge found in December, was a violation of Doe's constitutional rights and a shocking example of how the campaign against campus sexual assault has destroyed the concept of due process at America's colleges. And it's interesting because this Me Too thing, we every once in a while we'll say, you know what? I mean, look, I'm glad Harvey Weinstein is getting called out, but this could get out of control really fast. We know this has already happened in college. It's already out of control. Kids are getting thrown out all the time for doing nothing.
And think about what they're learning about justice. That justice does not come from a court. You're raped. You get justice from the group of people that are on campus. That's a bad lesson to teach.
Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Welcome to the program. Glad you're here. Pat Gray has just joined us. It was kind of a late evening last night. We're starting a new show on television starting next week. It's the news and why it matters. And it's all about the why behind every story. And it will begin airing at 5:30 Eastern time, right after my program.
All three of us back together.
Yeah, and Doc and Sarah is going to be moderating.
Yeah,
and it's a really smart show. We've been in rehearsals to have done a couple of shows. Really, really smart show. Really fascinating show. But last night we were in a photo shoot for the press around it or whatever, and Pat didn't realize that they were live streaming Facebook. And
were they?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Which good. I was happy good. About too. I was yeah. happy to hear.
I'm happy about that.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah. So I've posted it on my Facebook page.
Oh man, you jerk.
And it's about
I thought we were friends.
Between
at one
four
point, at one point we were friends.
Between 4 and 5 minutes into it, Pat and I at about 4 minute mark, you hear Pat and I barely. You have to kind of just really listen. But you'll hear Pat and I talking James Brown. I don't know, Papa Got a Brand New Bag or something was playing. And Pat said, this is the worst music of all time. And I think I said, you're the whitest white man in America. He may have claimed that he was the whitest white man in America. And he proudly took that title, you know, and said, well, that's why I listened to Boston and
Foreigner. And
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Journey.
Yeah. And that's it. But anyway.
Rick Astley.
Yeah. So I said, so we got into a little debate, just a personal debate. Wasn't, I mean, you could just barely hear it, but you can make it out. We got into a little debate that I was the whitest white man in America, not him, because he could at least dance to this. I might right. like it, but I can't dance to it. So then we all start paying attention to, you know, the photo shoot, and Pat just starts to dance. And it goes on for like 2 minutes, and it is...
Oh, boy.
It's quite funny. There it
oh
is. There it is, Pat, right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I don't want to look.
You don't want to look?
Look?
Oh, no,
look.
It's good.
I'm not going to
Oh, that's
look.
Not. That's a bad part. That's nothing what you're showing there. He really gets into it.
It was, I will say, considerably longer than I expected. I thought there was going to be a few seconds of dancing.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it was like a little joke. Oh, and then it really just
after
kept...
After like 5 hours of photos,
going.
I was kind of bored. And but, so...
I mean, look at that.
You have to
go to my Facebook page. You have to see
Please
this.
Please don't. Please don't do
it. It is
Please don't go to
Pat
his Facebook
like you've
page.
Never seen it before. And I'm just standing uncomfortably
well,
next to him.
Sadly,
just like,
it's Pat like you never wanted to see it.
Okay, anyway. Just there dancing all by himself. Anyway, it's good stuff. Good stuff. So, Pat.
Yes.
The news of the, you know, the tank parade and the military parade broke yesterday while we were together.
Yeah.
And I think the three of us all have the same opinion.
I'm pretty excited about it because it was so charming when the Soviets did it.
Right. Right. I mean, well, the Pentagon has said.
I want that kind of charm for our streets.
The Pentagon did say that there will be no missiles in this parade.
Oh, yeah. Well, what's the point then?
Right. Right.
I mean. Would they do tanks? Would they
yes.
do
tanks? Yeah. Yes,
tanks have been specifically requested.
No one wants that in America, do they?
No, no. I
have
hope
you talked
not.
To anybody who said, "Yeah, that's a really good idea"?
No, no, only on social media. I posted last night. I was against it, and oh my gosh, did I get an earful? This is about
Seriously?
The troops. You don't support the troops, please.
The troops want this.
No,
military
the troops
parades.
No.
In
and
Washington.
You know if it let's say it costs
come on
$30 million.
Yeah.
Let's spend that on.
Let's give them a raise.
Let's.
Yeah. Would that be better for the troops?
Yeah. Let's buy the gun. We had a dad call in and say, my son is a military guy. He just left boot camp and his gun won't shoot straight.
We just talked to a guy today whose spots we're about to do. I don't know if I can even talk about it. He is doing a charity for vets who have committed suicide because there's $0 for them. Mm. When they commit suicide, they lose all their benefits. And so a lot of these widows can't even bury them. A lot of their families don't have any money to bury them.
That's wrong.
So this guy specifically raises money to bury troops who have committed suicide, which is 22 people a day.
You know what? Can I tell you something?
It's killer.
Take the $30 million and bury the people.
Right. Right.
I mean, that is
And why
wrong.
Are they committing suicide? Because we're not taking care of them. After they've been through hell on Earth... And none of us can understand it who haven't been through it. They've been through it, and that's, you know, and then they're left.
And a parade's not going to help that.
A parade's not going to help that.
Let's help them find jobs. No. Let's help them find peace.
Yes.
Let's help them.
Yes. Let's get
let's
them.
Help them.
Let's get them mental health care.
What is the name of this charity?
Oh.
Will you bring it in tomorrow?
Yes. Oh, it's a Dog Tag Furniture. Dog Tag Furniture.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
So, yeah, we're going to be doing...
Is there meaning behind the name?
Dog tags. The you know.
I know, but furniture. I mean, they
but
make
not,
furniture.
It's
is
not
it a
actual
company?
Furniture. It's he sells like beautiful flags that he makes out of wood, and then there's T-shirts and hoodies and you know.
And the proceeds all go to do
and
this.
Every penny goes to it. He gets nothing out of it, except the satisfaction of helping out his brothers because five or six of them have committed suicide. He called them his battle buddies. And his best friend committed suicide.
Wow.
So, and they had no money for him because they lose their benefits. And I think they're given $300 by the federal government. Here, go bury your husband for $300. Thank you. Thanks. That's not going to do it.
That won't pay for the...
That doesn't pay for anything.
For anything.
No. You can't send out announcements for $300.
Dogtagfurniture.com?
I think
or .org?
Yeah.
Okay.
So just Google it.
There are a lot of important things we spend money on, though, and you guys are ignoring those. For example, if I may.
Yeah, you may.
California spent $110 million to convince people to join Obamacare. Now, it wasn't on health insurance. It was convincing people to join the health insurance, which, of course, would then cost more money.
Yeah.
Because they'd have to pay for the health care.
But it was only $110
million? $110
million.
But it worked out really well, right?
It worked out really well.
What, did they get like 800,000 people signing up with that?
A tad less than that.
Less than 800,000?
Yeah, it was a tad less than that. They got 50,000. So what they did is they basically wrote a check for $2,200 to every person to sign them up. They didn't give it to them. They just spent it.
It would have been easier to just give people
money.
$1,000 to sign up.
And then
that should have been the campaign. Just it spread it word of mouth.
Right.
On social media for free. We're giving you $1,000 to sign up to $2.5 million.
Of course, they're giving much more than $1,000 because they're paying for the health care, too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So what they did is they spent $2,200 to acquire customers in which they would then pay them and a bunch of money to actually get onto the health care. But we can't give more than $300 to a fallen soldier who's committed suicide to be buried.
Because he's a mess after the hell we put him through.
Jeez, man.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. As you've said many times, Stu, why would the federal government advertise anything they do?
Anything.
If you have to advertise what you're doing as a federal government, you shouldn't be doing it.
Right.
Whatever it is.
Because it's only things that people desperately need can even be possibly justified.
Right.
Right. Even those are, a lot of them aren't constitutional. But at least if people really, really need them so badly that they have to search out these topics, maybe you can justify it.
Yeah.
Instead, they are like, oh, we need to. You know what? People don't forget to eat. You don't need to advertise food stamps.
They'd love to do.
But they do.
Oh, they spend hundreds of millions of dollars advertising food stamps.
Wait, food stamps? I thought those were for poor people. No, if you're a billionaire, you could get them too. And it's like, why are you telling them that?
If you make 12 figures, you might actually qualify. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
That's great.
No, I think we all learned from the media last night what Kelly said about the lazy people that sponge off the government.
Well, the left is pissed because, of course, out of the 1.8 million,
there's not a single
zero of them are lazy. I don't know if you.
Yes.
These are all good, all of them, good, hardworking family people who can't be separated from their family.
Right.
Well, all so of them.
Everyone.
One of them.
Yes.
They're so exceptional.
Yeah.
These are like magic people.
They're dreamers. Now, so
the dreamers, the doers, and me. These are the people that Kermit sang about.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah,
that was the Rainbow Connection, yeah. Which works on many levels today. So let me ask you this, Pat. Did the press get their microphones to work only on the last of the 4 points? Because what I thought I heard him say is, hey, some people, and I find it hard to believe that they didn't hear about it, but some people didn't hear to sign up.
Right.
There are some people that were afraid to sign up.
Which I can't imagine because their neighbors signed up two or three times.
Right. Right.
So he had a qualifier
and
on them.
He said, and also, you know, maybe they were waiting for others to sign up to see if they were doing it, to see what would happen.
Yeah.
Then number four was, there are some people that were so lazy they didn't go out and do it. Now, the way he says it, if you listen to it, not just the first clip, but the second clip as well, where he's really talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking about it in a way that he's basically saying, you cared so little about American citizenship that you didn't even you couldn't take the time to even sign up for it, and yet we're still giving it to you.
And that's his ultimate point.
That's his point.
The bottom line is, and yet you're still okay because Trump is your champion.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
Trump is what?
Is their champion.
Is their champion.
Yeah, that's exactly what he called him. Donald Trump,
that was
the president, is their champion.
No, that was Jeb Bush.
No, that was Donald Trump.
You're right. It wasn't Jeb Bush. It was Marco Rubio.
No, that was...
Oh, no, my gosh. No, you're right again. It was Ted Cruz.
No.
It was Ted Cruz.
No, it was never Ted.
Really?
Never Ted, actually.
Huh,
no.
Because I remember those charges. No. Specifically on DACA. What?
Jim Gilmore. That's what
it was. No, it
was
Gilmore.
Wasn't even Jim Gilmore. No.
Oh, the guy in Wisconsin.
No, not the guy in
Wisconsin.
No.
No, not, no, it wasn't
no, him. It wasn't Walker.
And it, okay, Santorum?
Nope.
Santorum. I'm running out of people it could be. Rand Paul.
Nope. It was Donald Trump, actually. Donald Trump.
I mean, that is an amazing moment.
Isn't it?
Again, we all understand the politics of this. We understand how these things work.
Yeah.
But the guy who ran as the chief border hawk has his chief of staff on record in front of cameras and microphones saying that Donald Trump is the champion of 2 million illegal immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
Who are now going to get a path to citizenship, not legal status,
so
a path to citizenship.
If we get real border security, which I don't believe at all, but if we get that, I'm okay with this. I just want the security first.
I'm okay as long as it doesn't cascade into their parents, their cousins, their uncles, and become a chain migration.
Oh, my gosh, chain migration. Oh, did you hear the racist, the dog whistle?
Oh, my gosh.
Chain. Hey, what are you calling them, slaves? Chain migration.
I don't know if you know this. People can't hear dog whistles. So.
That's a great point. If you're saying, yeah, that's right. Right? People can't hear it at all.
I mean, if only dogs can hear it, who cares if I said it? Because no person heard it.
Cleanliness is next to godliness, and it's important to keep those ears clean as well. That's part of the package, man. You know, you got this deal where you have... Q-tips are like the chosen solution, even though Q-tips themselves don't actually recommend you use them to clean your inner ear. Look at the box next time you have a box of Q-tips out. Look at it. It doesn't tell you to do that. This is actually used for other things. Wax RX is used for this thing. The Wax RX system is the method physicians trust the most to clean your ears, and it's just like the system they use in their offices. They use these special wax softening drops to break down earwax inside the ear, and has a specially engineered pump fitted with a unique tip to gently deliver the perfect amount of cleansing pressure to flush the wax away. Go to usewaxrx.com. It's usewaxrx.com. There, you can order your reusable ear wash system and use the offer code radio to get it shipped free right to your home. This is easy. Usewaxrx.com, promo code radio. It's usewaxrx.com, promo code radio.
Glenn Beck.
There is a great story I'm just reading out of Dallas about this scam where this guy went to this this cabinet maker, and he lives in a rural part of Texas, and he's just a simple Christian guy, and apparently this scam artist put together a fleet of limousines and SUVs and fake security people and drove into this small dusty town of Texas and tried to convince this cabinet maker that he was a part of the Illuminati. Part of the Illuminati, and the Illuminati had selected him for reasons that they couldn't talk about to invest $1 million into one of their big things.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a great opportunity.
Great opportunity.
Yeah.
And this cabinet maker did, over 2 years, he invested $1 million. The guy just, I mean, it was obviously a hoax.
What? You're not saying the Illuminati was a hoax. You're saying this particular offer was a hoax.
Oh, no, I'm not saying the Illuminati is a hoax. No, sure not.
Because I saw it on a Taco Bell commercial.
The Illuminati?
Yeah. They're the ones that came up with the nacho fries.
You know what's really crazy is this guy, this cabinet maker, believed it. I could stop there. But he believed it, and he's apparently some sort of a part of a Christian group that you can't even sue. If you've been wrong, you don't sue people. So he wasn't able to sue or anything once he found out it was a scam. Somebody heard about it, called the FBI, and... they came in for the guy with the Illuminati with a black helicopter. And I guess he's being taken home to the Rothschild, you know, vineyard. I'm not sure what happened to him, but that scam is over.
Glenn Beck, Mercury.